Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. Glory to God. Be seated in the house of God. I'm not going to preach long here this morning because, I've already preached. But I am on assignment. There's a few things that we need to discuss and talk about. Amen. I'm not getting into the whole political thing. I'm not getting into the persecution of the day thing. That's evident. I've been hitting that, Thursday, on our service when we came back, we talked on that. The event with Charlie Kirk, it's tragic, but it's also a sign of the time that we live in. That was not just a political assassination. That was an assassination on an outspoken Christian. It's evident that even our nation as a whole does not want our Jesus. And again, thank you, sir. When we left our men's meeting, I saw you guys up there, and I didn't quite know what it was all about, but then afterwards, I'm like, thank you guys for doing that. Yes, sir, that's what we do. All the things that have come out of that, and it's his wife, when she made her first public announcement, she said it, and others were saying it before her, but the fact that she said it the way she did, the enemy, and I'll just generalize it that way, thought you're going to silence this man. No, you have no idea what you just did. And I'm hoping, praying, and believing that that's the same true in our churches. Yes, there's the political arena, and thank God for those that, are called to those arenas to do what they do. But shame on the church if we get silent now. This is when we need to be louder than ever before. Not arrogant, not rude, but we need to stand and be who God has called us to be the light to this world. Amen. And I said, because we're all living, regardless if it's a nation, a national thing, a personal thing, everybody goes through seasons and times of trouble, chaos, frustration, irritation. It doesn't matter what it is that you're facing. Like right now, our nation, obviously, we got some issues in our nation. No question about that. We've got issues in the church as a whole. There's no question about that. But then some individuals, you're going through stuff in your homes. You're going through stuff in the workplaces. You're dealing with things that, 20, 30 years ago, if you've got that type of tenure behind you, you never thought about these things years ago. But now here we are, it's smacking us upside the head, a lot of these things. And a lot of it is because you're a Christian.
Right.
Now, the HR people are being very careful not to say certain things to avoid lawsuits. But deep down, we know what it really is. They have an issue with you because they have an issue with your God. Amen. And it does. And then there's just some things that do happen in life that brings trouble and issue and problem. You get the diagnosis from the doctor. God forbid. The doctor didn't do that. The doctor didn't cause that. They're just telling you, hey, something's wrong, and this is what we see it is. Smith Wigglesworth, he used to believe that every sickness, and I believe this too, he used to believe that every sickness, every disease was from the devil. Well, yeah, it is when you understand the scriptures, because you understand when he entered the garden, when Adam bowed and bowed to Satan, okay, it let the curse in. And that's what's operating right now. Sickness, disease, famines, plagues, you name it, wickedness, hatefulness, offense, all that stuff comes from him. When he was allowed in the garden, well, that's what came with him. And now it's just increasing, and it's getting worse and worse, and God warned us about that. So in life, there's times of trouble. You're going to have personal times of trouble, but you can have hope in the middle of that trouble. You can have peace in the middle of that trouble. Amen? And that's just for a few minutes. I want to encourage you, just again, that you can walk in that. You choose to walk in that. I'm going to say that again. You choose to walk in that. God's not going to make you walk in his hope and walk in his peace. You've got to choose it. And just because you said, okay, I want it, doesn't mean it happens. You got to do something with it. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This church probably knows this verse very well. I mean, I could quote it without even looking at the scriptures. I know most of you can too, but if you would turn there, please, just for a quick moment, to get your eyes on the scriptures once again. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if, in my Bible, I circled that. The very first word, if. If is hinged on us, not God. If is what we do, not what he's going to do. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name. So God is saying to you and I right now, if we do something. Now, we're people called by his name. Now, thank you, Jesus. He's defining that. No, he's talking to his people. He's not talking to our country. He's not talking to our state. I love Gardner. That's why we're here. He's not talking to the city of Gardner or whatever town you're part of. He's not talking to the town. He's not talking to your neighbor. He's talking to you. If you're his people, if you're a son and daughter, New Testament, of God because of Jesus Christ, if you're one of his people and he's called you by name. Now, a lot of people are calling God their God, but their lifestyle, their actions, and everything that God says will define if you are or not his. You know, because God gives, Jesus himself, red letters in the New Testament, gives a very sobering verse to every one of us. Many people will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do? And then they start to list all their accolades that they did for God, did for Jesus. And he said, did we not do all these things in your name? Jesus' response to that was, and of course they list some things, we cast out demons, we did. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Think about that. There's people who claim Christ, but Christ does not claim them. So it's not just everything that we're doing out here. Because they said, listen, didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus said, I never knew you? Why? Because their lifestyle, but really their heart, didn't back what they said or how they were trying to pretend to live. So if my people, which are called by my name, so when God says, I know you, you know how you know if you know him? His presence is with you. You know, I don't need to know where, and we don't need to know where Carlos went, but I appreciate that statement he made if you didn't hear him. He was invited to another church last week, and that's why he wasn't here on Sunday. He said, but I came back here because when I went there, I didn't feel what I felt here. It's not the excitement. It's not the energy. It's not Miss Ramona's amen, well, help us. It's called the presence of God. It's called the anointing of God. Amen. You know you're with God because you can't escape him. His presence is there. His anointing is there. He's dealing with you. He's helping you. He's talking to you. Even when you don't want him to, he's still talking to you. Amen. You know if you're called by God. So if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble, say humble.
Humble.
Sorry, you got to humble yourselves. And I just simply put it this way. He's God, you're not. He's the Almighty, you're not. He knows everything, you don't. Amen. We've got to humble ourselves before God. Nope, you're God. Because he's our Lord and Savior. See, we live in a generation that they just want a Savior. But he's got to be our Lord first. He's our Lord, which means he calls the shots. He tells us what to do. Isaac, stay where I told you to stay. Even though it doesn't seem like this is where you should stay, trust me and stay where I tell you to stay. Do what I tell you to do. Even if it doesn't look good for you, trust me, God is saying, and stay put and watch what I'm about to do. That takes some humbling. You know, for a lot of us, because, you know, it takes some humbling because we think we're our own gods. We have to humble ourselves. So again, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Well, that's simple. Talk to God. Yes, it's simple, but for some people, it's easier said than done. Because our prayer has to change. You can't just go running to God each and every day demanding him to do things for you. You can't just continue to go to God with your hands out. You got to learn how to approach God with your hands up. You got to learn how to come into his presence the way the scriptures say to do it, not just the way we want to do it. Or many of us came out of different denominations where our prayer life was nothing more than religion. We did the same thing over and over again with no change in result because there was no change in here. The approach, we did it because it was mechanical. We did it because this is what we were told to do, but there was no connection to it. Because if you're going to pray, that means you're going to have to learn how to talk to God and allow him to talk back to you. Now, we could go much deeper than that, but I want to get to another main verse here this morning. But prayer, when he talks back to you, yes, he'll talk to you in your prayer closet. He'll talk to you in that private time. But you know where he talks to you the most? Through his word. That's where he's going to talk to us the most through, which means you've got a good, not just have a good prayer life talking to him, listening to him, but also you've got to have some time in the word. A good, healthy Bible study time on your own. Right now, what we're doing here right now, this is not your Bible study time. This is not my Bible study time. This is the time that you and I come together in the house of God, the presence of God, so God can deal with both of us through his word. Because this is the message he said to preach. And he said, this is going to bring some hope and peace to some people. I need to deal with some things. I need to bring healing to some things. I need to adjust some things. This is the time that we're getting adjusted and filled up. When we leave here on our own time, that's our Bible study time. Amen. It says, pray and seek my face. Seek his face. Do you want him or just what he has for you? Only you can answer that. And despite what some people want to say and how they think and how they treat our God, because again, you can cheapen the things of God, he knows the difference too. You know, we can put on the best show. You've heard me say this. Christians are some of the greatest people on the face of the planet. And they're some of the worst people on the planet. Because we all know how to act and talk like a Christian when we come in here. And most of the time, and I'll say it that way, most of the time, other believers can't tell the difference, are you real or not? And don't feel bad. Jesus' own team had the same problem. Jesus calls out and says, one of you is the devil. One of you is going to betray me. And they all looked at each other, and then they looked at Jesus and said, is it me? Now we look at the story, we look at the account and go, it's Judas, can't you see it? But obviously he put on the right show, he said the right things, he carried himself the right way that even the other 11 could not pick up on the fact that he's a fake and phony. He's a hypocrite. He's not who he claims to be. Now it's not our job to go pointing fingers at and judging and scrutinizing everybody. No, we got to deal with ourselves. But the point is God knows the difference. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. So he knows the difference. Are you seeking him? His presence, his anointing, who he is, just who he is. When's the last time you get in your prayer time, you were just there? When's the last time you came to church just because of him? Not because of what he's done or what he'll do, just because of him. That's why it says, seek my face, not my hands. You want to have a close relationship with God. Amen. Seek my face and turn. You know what word you can put in there? Repent. Turn from their wicked ways. Well, what's the wicked way? Anything that God says you're not supposed to be doing. If God says don't do it, that's wicked to him. If God said this is sin and defines it as sin, it's wicked to him. So it's our job to say, all right, Lord, not just forgive me, but I repent of doing this thing. You know, and listen, trust me, we know it. Sometimes it takes God's help to help you. Not just change your mind, but to change your heart and start walking away from what you were once doing. God knows that, and he's going to help you do that. We've witnessed that. We've seen that. We know that to be true. Amen. There's things that you and I can change. Change them. There's other things you can't do it without God, which means you better do it with God. But it starts with that heart of repentance saying, Lord, if I broke this thing, deal with me. And if I broke this, show me, and I'm going to repent from this. I'm going to turn from this, whatever that wicked thing is. Amen. So we humble ourselves. We pray. We seek his face. And we live a lifestyle of repentance. That's what we do. Those are the four ifs. if my people. Now, if we do these things, God's promise is then, only after we do the if, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. Thank you, Jesus. And I will heal their land. Now, yes, we need healing in this nation. I am not a doom and gloom preacher. However, this nation is not turning to God. We're not going to have some massive revival that every human in this nation gets born again, spirit-filled, and says, we denounce sin, we denounce Satan, and we all want to go to heaven now. It's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that we can't shift some things and change some things and adjust some things. It doesn't mean that we can't win the masses into the kingdom. But to think here and say, well, unless God shows up and everything changes overnight, it's not going to happen. It's never happened that way. It's got to start in the pew. From the pew, it goes to the family. From the family, it goes into the community. From the community, it takes over the city, the town. From the city, town, it takes over the state. And from there, it may take over the nation. But it's got to start right here. That's why the Bible says judgment starts in the house of God first. Yes, God's going to deal with all this, but he's got to deal with us first. Amen? He's got to get some things adjusted in here first. You know, my father-in-law used to say, you know, what's in the pulpit gets in the pew. You know, if you got a weak preacher, you're going to have a weak congregation. If you got a dirty preacher, you're going to have a dirty congregation. If you got a preacher who says, we don't want to talk about the tithe, we don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not going to do all these things because we're embarrassed of these things, guess what? You're going to have a congregation that does not tithe, does not go have the Holy Spirit, is embarrassed about the things of God, embarrassed about the Holy Spirit. And worse than that, Jesus said, if you deny me, I'll deny you. So we need bold preachers in this day if we're going to have bold believers. So your prayer not only should be about you, it should be about the preachers who take the pulpit every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every midweek service, that those preachers have the holy boldness of God to preach the truth of the Word of God that's going to build us in the pews so we can take it home to the families. Amen? So prayer isn't just about you. And yes, we are praying for our nation. I hope you're praying. We did this on Thursday night, and you know, we're praying for the Kirk family. Now, we know our God, and apparently she made it clear she knows God too. Oh, yeah. But it doesn't mean that they still don't need God's peace. They still need God's healing. Yeah. That family needs to be surrounded right now on all fronts. So we need to be praying for them. Yes, we need to be praying for our nation. But how about praying for us? Right. Lord, deal with us. Amen. So we can be who you called us to be, that we don't lose our nation, that we don't lose our state, that we don't lose our city. That we don't lose our families. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, grant unto your servants all boldness that they may preach. You know, that's Book of Acts. That's when the magistrates and the Pharisees said, if you preach in that name again, we're going to arrest you and kill you. That was the response of that church. That wasn't, oh, we got to go hide now. Right. No, that response from that church said, grant unto your servants all boldness that we may preach and teach the word of God. Amen. We need that boldness today. It doesn't just happen because God said, you're the last days church. You're the end times people. You know, we got different phrases, different terminology for it. God is not saying it's just going to happen because I placed you on the earth at this time. It starts with an if. If my people. So if you want God, then you got to go after him. But the beautiful thing with our God is you don't have to go too far. Amen. He can get to you a whole lot quicker than you can get to him. It just takes us saying, all right, I'm turning from these things. God, I need you. I need you in my family. I need you in the workplace. We need you in our church. We need you in our city. We need you in our towns. Amen? Amen. And God's promise again, he's going to hear our prayers. There is not a prayer that God has not heard. There's many he has not answered. And he's given us reasons through the scriptures why he won't answer some prayers. But man, when he hears your prayer and he knows that I'm going to do some things, I'm going to change some things, I'm going to forgive the sins, which means if he's forgiven the sins, he can bring healing to it. Now, yes, it says healing, but how about the things that we broke? God can fix them. How about the things you caused? God can restore them. This is his promise. Now, the healing to the land, that's not just here. That's not just your issue. That's across the land. Just like in Isaac's day, when he's in the city or in the country and the king finally figures out, wait a minute, you are married. We need God's blessing. So nobody touch them. Yeah. See, even the world understands this. In our men's meeting yesterday, we talked about a few different things. How about Jeremiah? I'm sorry. So how about Daniel? Even those guys who did not like him, they knew we've got nothing against him. They recognized this man walks with God. They recognized the only way we can touch this guy is if we make a law that tells him he can't pray to his God. Because we'll win one way or another. We can call him a hypocrite because he stops praying, or he prays and we can throw him in the lion's den. In their brain, they won either way. Of course, did they really? Sure, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, but he walked out of it. They were thrown in it. They never hit the ground. So the world sees us. They don't like it. They want to deny it, but they can't. They do see that God's hand is upon us. If we do what we're called to do, they don't want the church to be bold. Because they know if the church becomes bold, the church becomes loud, then they're not going to be able to enjoy the things they've been championing. They know that. That's why events like what just happened, Satan knows that. But if my people, when God brings healing to the land, it not only brings healing, everybody recognizes it, it brings a peace. Even for those who don't like your God. That peace is not peace with them and God. The peace is between you and them. That they back off, they leave you alone, because they can't deny what God's doing. And more so, they don't want to contend with your God. So God says, I'll bring healing to your land. We need that. Amen? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I love this chapter. We're just going to deal with a couple of things here this morning really quick. Romans chapter 8, because we're talking about having hope and peace no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're up against, whatever trouble you have in your life, whatever thing you're facing right now, whatever thing you could be facing tomorrow, you can still walk through it with peace and hope. Romans 8, starting in verse 24, it says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he need hope for it?" So in other words, if you have it, why are you hoping for it? Why are you expecting God to do what he said he's going to do if you've already got it? 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We endure. So that hope, God never said, you pray today, tomorrow it's coming. Now, preachers say that. God never said that. We see through the scriptures, you know, we call it the hall of fame of faith in the book of Hebrews. And God begins to list certain people, Abraham being one of them. Here he was. He got the promise of God. He never saw it in his lifetime. God promised you're going to be the father of many nations. He had two boys. That's not many nations. That's two boys. Now, yes, out of those two boys, two nations came. But even still, that's not, he never saw it in his lifetime, but he never gave up on that promise. In fact, God goes through and he deals with his son. Then he deals with his grandson of the same promise, because God does not go back on his promises. God does not go back on what he says. So we endure with patience, that when we find out what God has said, we're just going to stick with God said it. That settles it. Well, that's weird. Well, to you, but not to us, because we've seen him do it before and he's going to do it again. So we're going to have this hope, this great excited expectation that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Because our God can't fail. So if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. I'm just going to wait with excited expectation. No, it's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. Victory's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. Healing's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. The prodigal's coming home. I don't know when, but it's coming. Amen. And whatever it is that you're going through, when you've got the hope of Jesus Christ, it solidifies your walk. It stabilizes you that you're not tossed to and fro by every event, every issue, every problem, right? Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or interpreted. So when you don't know what to pray, Jesus said, listen, I'm sending another helper, the great Holy Spirit, who is God. It's just a different relationship. The same God, different relationship with mankind. So the Holy Spirit, part of what we, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you don't know what to pray, have you ever been there? Many of us were there on Wednesday. Lord, what do we pray right now? How do we guard our hearts so we pray right now? How do we handle this right now? How, you know, preachers are okay. How am I, Lord, what am I preaching on for Wednesday night service preachers? What am I preaching on tonight? How are we handling this right now? What do I tell my kids right now? How do I explain this to our kids? How do we deal? Sometimes we don't even know what to do, so we go to God, and then we're like, I don't even know what to pray. Thank you, Jesus. God, who knows everything, knows exactly what to pray, which is why he gave us this great prayer language. Because when you don't know what to pray, he does. And God doesn't violate his own word, because the Bible says you don't have because you don't ask, which means you've got to open up your mouth and ask. But when you don't know what to ask, then how can you ask? But he says, I got a loophole for that. I won't violate my own word, but let me help you with that. I know what to pray when you don't. So let me give you this prayer language that not only you don't know what to pray, I'll pray it for you, but you got to open your mouth. You got to allow me to speak through you. And I'm going to speak in a language that only the angels understand, that you don't understand, that you can't mess it up, and even more so, Satan can't mess it up. Amen? So when we don't know, he helps us in our infirmities. Weakness is there. That doesn't mean where you fall, where you stumble. It means, listen, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. Have you ever been? I don't know what to do about this. But God does. So we begin to pray, and the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, we've heard this verse misquoted many times. God works all things for his good. No, he doesn't. It says that God works all things for his good to them who love him. Well, I love him, okay. Then how come you're fighting against God's word? How come you're trying to jump over God's word and dive into hell? I am not. Okay, then why are you fighting against, well, I don't have to live, I don't have to do, I don't have to go to church, I don't have to. When God says in his word that these are the things that we're supposed to be doing as believers. Well, what does that have to do with the love of God? Because Jesus himself said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Which means you got to know his commandments. He goes on in that same chapter to say, if you love me, you'll keep my sayings, which means you're going to protect his word. You're not going to change it. You're not going to alter it. You're not going to make it fit the culture and the time in which we live in. You're going to keep it in the way that God said it, in its context. And you're going to find out not only are you going to keep it there, but you're also going to keep it here. Amen. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. If you love me. Here it says that God will work all things together. So whatever these things there, you know, this is why we do say this. You know, no matter what happened, this whole thing with, you know, Charlie Kirk, it's demonic. There's no question about it. But we know our God, because that man was very vocal about how much he loved Jesus Christ. That wife, I don't know her name offhand, but she, thank you, Erica, she made it crystal clear how much she loves Jesus Christ. That family walks with Jesus Christ. And more so than that, not just them, but those who are surrounding them. Churches all over this nation, churches all over the planet right now. Same heart. No, we love our Jesus. We're going to do what he said, that, you know, that the voice is going to continue. We're going to continue to preach the word of God. It wasn't just the political front that he had. Thank God he had that. But it was also the Christian front. his last full conversation he had was about Jesus Christ and being born again. Amen. For those that love him, God says, I'll work all. So whatever just happened, now God didn't cause it. But God is stirring something right now in this nation. God is stirring something in churches all over this nation. God is stirring something on our college campuses. God is stirring something. He's using, he doesn't got to use the event, but because of this, he's working things out of it. For those that love him. Now, if this nation hated him and rejected him, he wouldn't do anything. But there are too many believers here. Doing, standing, believing, going. And God said, for those that love me, I'll work all things for their good. Or I'll work all things together for good to them that love me, who are called according to his purpose. 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30 is where I want to zero in on. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Say called. To whom he called, he also justified. Say justified. And to whom he justified, he glorified. Say glorified. There's four main words in here. The first one was predestinate. Called, justified, glorified. We're talking about having hope. We're talking about having peace no matter what you're facing. No matter what trouble you're dealing with. That word predestinate means to ordain in advance. To set apart. We could simply say it this way. God already had a plan for you before your parents even knew you were coming. Don't we know that to be true in Jeremiah? Yes. I knew you before your mother's womb, and I've got a plan for you, and it's good. Right? Isn't that God's promise? Yes. So when he says, I predestinated, I knew you, you were predestined them, God is saying, listen, before you even met me, I knew you. Before you met me and knew me, I had a plan for you, and my plan for you is good. But Isaac, you got to learn how to stay where I told you to stay. Because my plan's good, and I'm going to work everything for good to them that love me. He knew. He set apart. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. Now, yes, there's a general plan of salvation, but then the call he's got on your life, your family, your business, your career. You know, some are called to the pulpit. Some are called to help in politics. Whatever that call is, God has a plan, and his plan is good. And he had this plan set up before Satan even knew you would be an opposition to him. And because God has a plan and God has no plan B, he's never had a plan B and he's never going to have a plan B. So God's plan is perfect for your life. So he starts off, he says, whom he did predestinate, the ones he had set apart, the one he's got a plan for, he said, them he also called. He called them. Called means to call forth, to set apart. To call you out from, or that's how you're known. That's how heaven knows you. My daughters are floating around in here right now. They don't have to try to become my daughter or daughters. They are my daughters. There's nothing they can do to make them less my daughters or more my daughters. They're my daughters. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High God. There's nothing you can do or not do that that changes that. There's nothing that you can do or not do that's going to change the call, the plan he's already got laid out for your life. It's already settled. And he's saying, listen, despite what it looks like around you, I've got a plan for you. Despite what the enemy's trying to tell you, I still call you. There's nothing you can do to change what I've called you. Amen? So we're called. And then, of course, it says we're justified. Justified means to be made free or rendered innocent. Well, why is that in there? Because most of us came out of the world. Most of us have a background. Most of us have a history. All of us were born into the sinful nature. Some of us, thank you, Jesus, you met Jesus Christ early on in life. Some of us met Jesus and then we went our own way and we did our own things and we made a mess of things and now we're coming back. But thank you, Jesus. He said, not only did I know you and already have a plan for you, not only you are a son, you are a daughter, but on top of that, I have made you free. I have called you innocent. Yes, you were guilty, but I've made you free. I've made you innocent. So whatever you broke there, God says, I can fix it. Whatever you did do, which is in a violation to this, he goes, I've already taken care of it. I already knew them. I called them. I've made them innocent. God can fix whatever you broke. We know that to be true. Now, if your heart is, well, I'm just going to keep breaking it, that he won't fix. But if your heart is, no, Lord, I'm done with that. It's time to move forward with you. He says, that I can work with, that I can fix, and I've made you innocent. Oh, the world will have its say. You know, you've heard me say this before. You know, with God, all it takes is a moment. Forgiven, set free, justified in a moment. Some people will spend the rest of their lives on this earth trying to prove to man, I'm not the same person I was. But you don't have to do that with God. We're not spending our entire lives trying to prove to God, I'm not the old person. He says, I know your heart. I know you're not the old person. I'm still working on some things, but I know you're not that same person anymore. Amen. And then it says, not only are we justified, it says we're glorified. We're glorified, which means to render honor to glorify, to glory, to magnify. What does that mean for you and I? Not only does he have... He ordained us in advance. He had a plan for us that was set apart from every other person's plan. Not only has he called us, we're now called sons. We're not becoming, we're called. We're known as. Satan knows that you're a son. Satan knows that you're a daughter of the Most High God, and he hates it. My daughters don't have to prove they're my kids. All you got to do is look at them. There's no denying they're my kids. Right? Well, the same thing is true in the spirit when it comes to the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Yes. We don't have to prove it. Satan and every demon in hell knows that's a child of the Most High. They can see it all over us. We look like our Father. Amen? But we're glorified. Not only are we justified, made free, set free, but we're glorified. God has honored us. Now, Jesus deals with this. He says, Father, just as you've honored me, glorified me, so too shall they be glorified. Just as Jesus walked in the anointing of God because he is God, Jesus says, those that are called my kids, joint heirs, the same anointing that I walk in, they get to walk in. They have the honor of bringing the presence of God wherever they go. They have the honor of bringing the anointing of God wherever they go. They have the honor. It's an honor. This is why I spent so much time at the beginning of service, that we don't cheapen anything in the house of God. We don't cheapen anything in our walk with Christ. That we're honored to carry the presence of God wherever we go. God says, listen, I've got a plan for them that nobody can mess up. I've called them, separated them, called them apart. I've justified them. They've been forgiven. Coming out of the world, coming out of that sinful nature, coming out of our past with our God. You don't have to prove that's not who you are anymore. You may have to deal with the world, depending on what you broke. But with our God, you don't have to. That's why some of the most free people, and this is true, some of the most free people on this planet, they're sitting in jail cells even today. Now, we know the difference. There are some that it's just religion and just, but some of those who really met Jesus Christ in prison and are never getting out, they're more free in there than you and I are out here. Not because they can just roam about how they want, but because they know who they are in Christ. And they're not trying to get out. They're not trying to fight. They're not trying to do that. But they're just more free because they figured it out. Wait a minute. I am free. He set me free. I'm innocent in his eyes because of his blood. I am guilty in the natural. I did it. I belong here. Every one of us can say it. We broke things. We are guilty of those things. We're not pretending like those things didn't happen. But with our Jesus, he said, listen, I've made you innocent. Amen. I've taken the penalty. I've taken the price. I've washed the slate clean. Amen. Amen. And because of that, you're honored. I'm going to honor you with walking around with his anointing, his presence, his call, his purpose. You and I, we get to be carriers of Jesus Christ. We get to be the light and salt to this world. you and I don't have any real light in us. This isn't some New Age deal. It's talking about the light of Jesus that brings, opens up the eyes of the blind to what's going on and what this world really has. What happened the other day. We need the eyes being opened up to this nation right now of what really took place. You know, they want to make it about a political right, left. No, this is a moral issue. This is a sin issue. This, you know, something's shifting in our nation when even the newscasters are saying, we need Jesus. Primetime news, they're saying, we need Jesus right now. You're right, you always have. He's the only fix to this. He's the only answer to this. But you and I are honored to be able to carry the light that only Jesus can bring. That we bring not our revelation, we bring His revelation to every situation. Amen. That we're glorified. And that's the promise of God. So think about whatever you're facing, this does not change. Whatever trouble you're up against, this does not change. That's why if you go through the rest of the chapter, this is where Paul, he gets fired up. He gets excited. He gets to the end of this thing. He goes, I've been through. He goes, but you know what I figured out? He goes, there's not a demon in hell. There's not an angel in heaven. There's not a human on this planet. There's not a blessing that comes. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of my God. Amen? Amen. He gets all fired up at the end of this saying, listen, I figured this out. No matter what I face, I'm telling you right now, no matter what you face, no matter what we face tomorrow, no matter what comes next week if we're still here, next year if we're still here, no matter what we face, none of this is changing with our God. This is established in your life that He is predestined, He is called, He is justified, and He has glorified you to be able to walk these last days with Him, in Him, and through Him. Amen? Now, if you don't like that verse, let's go one more verse. Verse 31. What shall we say to these things? What things? The trouble, the issue, wickedness, hatred, offense, betrayal, sickness, disease, famine, banks crashing, housing market crashing, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences. Go down the list. All of these, what are we going to say about those things when we find out and we know that verse 30 applies to you and me right now? Verse 30 will continue to apply to us tomorrow. It will continue to apply next week. It will continue to apply next year. When we understand that, then what on earth could this world throw at us? What on earth could this world bring to us? What on earth could humans do? What on earth could demons do? And it says, if God be for us, then who? What? When could anything really, truly be against us? But you got to understand this. God is saying you can walk in hope and peace right now, but you have to choose it. It's available to every believer. I'd love to say it's available to every human. It's not. Because even a message like this, you know, you could get excited for a moment. You could get all charged up for a moment. Yeah, rah, rah, let's go. We got this. And then what are you going to do tomorrow when there's another shooting? I'm not confessing it. But it seems like we can't go a week now. Have you noticed that these shootings are starting to turn into like the earthquakes? Just white noise? Unless it's something major. Every one of them's major. I'm not making light. But unless it's something major, major in their eyes, their definition, we don't hear about it anymore. But there's earthquakes all over the planet almost every day. Lives being lost every day. We hardly hear about any of them anymore. It's a white noise. These shootings happening every week, not just in schools, but everywhere. It's becoming white noise. Because the design is just that's run its course in the sense of people are locked down because they're in fear now because of this. What are we going to do if something else happens? Well, let's move on to something else. Let's move on to something. And that's all Satan ever does. You know? This is where we live. You choose. If my people, you're God's people. So if you choose, this isn't because the preacher is bold. It kind of helps to have a bold preacher to kind of say, hey, wake up, knock it off. Get your life right. Get your prayer right. Come on, let's get some things adjusted here. That's my assignment. But if you do nothing with it, that's on you, not me. That's on you, not our God. Amen. You know, Ecclesiastes, it also tells us that he who digs a pit will eventually fall into it. He that breaks a hedge, the serpent strikes. Now, one translation of that says, he that breaches the hedge. So what does that mean? Well, God has given hedges around us. He's trying to set up borders, boundaries, barriers, whatever you want to call them, around us with his word. Yeah. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't fellowship with that. Don't play with this. Don't touch that. This will hurt your life. The wages of sin is, regardless if you're born again, spirit-filled or not, the wages of sin is still death. There are some, even the scriptures say, there are some death, some sin that will actually take your natural life out quickly. We all know that. But the hedges are the words of God protecting your life, protecting your walk, saying, listen, don't do these things. If you stay in the perimeter of my word, you'll find my blessing. If you stay in the perimeter of my word, you'll find my protection. This is why we quote Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place. Well, the secret place is not on the other side of the hedge. It's right there in the garden. It's with our God. See, God doesn't leave his position just to chase you. We get out of position. So if we breach that hedge and we say, no, I don't want this. Doesn't apply to me. I don't need it. I got some special grace. I heard a message that says I don't have to do these things. Then you breach that hedge. That means you push through. I said it at the beginning. You're going to have to climb over me to get to hell. You're going to have to climb over the Word of God to get to hell in this church. You're going to have to climb over the Word of God to break down, breach those hedges. And if you do, even if you sit in here every service, don't be shocked when the enemy strikes. Because now you're on the other side of the protection of God. And God's saying, I told you to stay here, Isaac. This is where the protection is. I told you to stay here, Isaac. This is where the anointing is. I told you to stay here, Isaac. This is where the blessing is. But you push through that. And now we can blame Satan for everything that happens. There's truth to some of that. Some of it's just the wickedness that's on this earth. It's not always Satan. What just happened was demonic. There's no question about that. The things that happen in our schools, they're demonic. There's no question about that. But because we live here, why add anything more to our lives? When God says, if you just do this, I'll bring protection. I'll bring hope. I'll bring peace. Yeah, but what if it happens? Okay. But what if it doesn't? I'm not going to live in fear. And I'm hoping you don't live in fear either, because when you have the hope of God, you know how this works down here. You meet Jesus Christ. You walk with Jesus Christ. And when you take your last breath here, you take your first one there in the presence of Jesus Christ. If that's how this works, then how can you lose? If that's the best shot the enemy has, I saw the reel, and I'm sure some of you saw it when they showed Charlie Kirk when he was struck. We don't know how it actually works in the spirit, but they show him getting struck, but then they show him standing up and running to his Jesus. I believe that's exactly what happened. I don't believe he felt that. I believe God spared him from that moment, but he was instantly in the presence of God. That's the goal. And if that's the hope that we have, knowing that God is going to honor that in our lives, no matter what this life brings, that I meet him, I walk with him, and then I'm going to stand before him, then who cares what this world does? We're not ignoring these things. We're not pretending like these things aren't real. But you have to make your mind up now. You've got to determine now. Are you going to walk with God or not? Are you going to stand for God or not? Are you going to be a biblical Christian or not? Because if it's if not, then don't get mad at us, because we're sticking with this. You don't like it? I was going to say there's the door. The door's still there. You got to go on the other side of the wall now. You get the point. See, this has never just been God just does. It's always taken his people to say, all right, enough's enough. We're going to walk with this God. We're not playing games with our salvation. We're not playing games with our Christianity. And I believe that in Jesus' name, that the greatest army of believers is rising up right now. Bold for their king. Not arrogant, not rude, but bold for their king. But you decide. Amen? And if you decide to do it with him, then you can walk in his hope and his peace, because he's going to honor his word in your life like he's always honored his word in believers' lives. And it brings peace knowing that my God's got me. If this is the best shot the world has, I'm going to have my peace in God knowing that I'm going to walk with him, serve him, and then one day I'm going to be with him. Never to deal with this garbage ever again. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Would you stand on your feet this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord, I speak over every person in here right now this morning. You know what they're facing in this life. Never mind the stuff we're dealing with as a nation, but individually, you know what they're dealing with in their lives. Marriages are on the brink. Health is failing. Financial ruin. Jobs, questions, all this stuff is going on. Prodigals. You know what people are dealing with, Lord. But Lord, I thank you right now. In the midst of all of that, we know this to be true. You are still God. You're working on it. You've got the answers for it. Lord, I thank you right now that peace just begin to flood all of our lives. Hope be renewed in our lives once again, that if you said it, that settles it. That we're going to start to stir ourselves up once again, having that great, excited expectation that God is about to move. God is about to show up. God is about to do what he said he was going to do. Lord, we've got to stir ourselves. So that's what this morning's all about. Us stirring ourselves up once again, reminding ourselves of how good you are. Reminding ourselves that you've never failed. Reminding ourselves that you are the Almighty. You are the ever-present. You are the all-knowing. That has not changed and that will never change. Satan is a defeated foe. That will not change. Jesus made an open show of him. That's not changing. And as we walk with you, we too continue to mock Satan. Continual to show him that he's still defeated, that he cannot win, because God has already won. Lord, I thank you for, you know, as we stir ourselves, you're also helping to stir us up right now. You're reminding us of those past victories, those past times you've shown up, those past times that you've dealt with, you've done. You're reminding us of the testimonies of those that you've done this for. You're no respecter of persons. If you've done it for one, you'll do it for another. That's what your word says. So, Lord, I thank you that today we're leaving here with a greater peace and a greater hope than we came in with. That as the days progress, it's going to get stronger in us. Greater peace. Greater hope, because you are not about to change. We're going to stand and hold to that fact that we've been predestinated by you. We've been called by you. We've been justified by you. We've been glorified because of you. And if we have those four things working in our lives, then who on earth would dare to stand against your kids? Because they're really standing against you. So because of that, just like the Apostle Paul, we're not going to be moved in any of these areas, because we know that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of our God. So Father, we thank you that you're helping us, strengthening us. Again, Lord, help the Kirk family. Surround them right now. Continue to surround them. Continue to surround Charlie's team. I'm so grateful that this did not deter them. The wife made it bold and clear the other day that they're not backing down. In fact, they're just getting started. We've already heard the reports of the increase, not addition, but multiplication of those getting involved in Turning Point. Lord, may they have the greatest platform that they've ever had. May they get into more campuses than they've ever been in. And may they continue to preach your gospel. stronger and bolder than ever before. Surround those little babies. Protect those little babies. Help his wife right now, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I don't know their pastor, but I've heard some things from their pastor. Lord, continue to help his pastor right now, her pastor right now, to preach your word with boldness and help them as a family and a community. Lord, we know you're a good God. We know you did not cause this, but Lord, we know good is coming out of this. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, before we leave here this morning, Second Chronicles 7, where we said it, if my people which are called by my name. We emphasize that. How do you know if you're called by him? Well, I said, okay, well, you know, if his anointing's on, you know, his presence is there, you can tell, you can feel, sure. That's a reminder to those people who have met Jesus. But what if you've never met him before? See, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that there's a, and I don't want to cheapen this, but just for time, there's a quick, simple way to know if you know him or not. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart, believe what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the risen Savior, that he did come to this earth. He died for your sins and my sins. He paid the price. He paid the penalty. He went to the cross so you didn't have to. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. So the believing part in your heart is not just that he came to pay the price, because Jesus was not a martyr. He's the Savior. There's a difference. That he died on that cross, he paid the price for your sins, my sins, every human sin. He walked out of that grave because he is God. So you believe he came and paid, and he walked out of the grave, making him God. He's not just some biblical figure. He's not some historical figure. He is the Son of Almighty God. He is God. You've got to believe that. And you've got to believe what he did when he came to this earth was for you. But then you also have to admit, which is that humbling part, you're a sinner. Every one of us without Jesus Christ, we're sinners. But thank you, Jesus, just like our brother Carlos, you don't have to stay a sinner. You don't have to stay in that realm. That when you receive Jesus, by believing he did that for you and saying, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I believe you did it for me. Be the Lord and help me to be that new person you've said I could be. So that's why it says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, then salvation is made. Now, the confessing with your mouth is what's going on in here. And confessing with your mouth is not a once and done. It's where it starts. You confess what you believe he's doing, and you're confessing that he's going to finish what he started in you. Which means you have purpose, he's your Lord, and you're going to walk the rest of your days with him, letting him be the Lord and Savior of your life. That's why I say it's simple that way. But then you spend a lifetime walking with this Jesus. It's the greatest experience, if you want to use that term, and it's the greatest walk in life that any human will ever, ever enjoy, experience, be part of in this life. Truly, it's the greatest miracle that Jesus does in any believer's life, any person's life. Changing your eternal destination from hell to heaven with the change of a heart. Greatest miracle you'll ever experience. So for those who say, well, I've never experienced a miracle, are you born again? Well, yes, I know Jesus. I walk with him. Then you've experienced the greatest miracle any human will ever experience. Your eternal destination changed. But it doesn't end there. Not only does he change you from the inside out, he walks with you. He sent his Holy Spirit, the things that we were talking about this morning, to help you walk this life out. That just like Carlos is working on right now, believing to be, you know, that new creation in Christ Jesus, that whoever he was before, that's not who he's going to be when this is all said and done. Just like every one of us. I'm not picking on Carlos, but Carlos, when he comes here, he's excited for Jesus. We can see that. Amen. That's why I'm just kind of calling out Carlos right now. And also reminding Carlos, you never quit on Jesus because he won't ever quit on you. Amen. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because I cannot close this service without offering anybody in here the opportunity, if you have never met Jesus, if you've never bowed your life to him, I cannot end this service without saying this is your opportunity to do this. Wednesday, unfortunately, once again, followed by Thursday, a 24-year reminder. No one's promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today's the day you make that decision because you might not have that chance tomorrow. I don't think Charlie thought for a second that on Wednesday would be his last day on this planet. He was just doing what he was called to do. Sitting in a place that he loved to be because he was doing it with his Jesus. He was doing it for his Jesus. And what, 20 minutes into what would have been several hours of what he loved to do, shifted everything. He was no longer in that chair. He was in heaven. 24 years ago, on the 11th, all those people, be it in the towers, the firefighters, under in the train stations, the Pentagon, the airplanes, none of them thought for a second, this is it. In fact, before that, we were pretty arrogant as a nation. We thought we were invincible. But we woke up that day, we finished that day realizing we're not. Nobody's promised tomorrow. One of the girls I graduated with was in the towers. Her cousin comes to our church. We got a family member of our church here that their father was serving that day. Didn't lose their life that day, but the effects of that day cut his life short. Because of all the stuff that they were breathing just to help other humans. See, nobody's promised tomorrow. This isn't a fear thing. This is a reality check. Charlie, talking about Charlie Kirk, that's not a fear thing. That's a reality check to us. This is where we live. But we don't have to live in fear. And the only way you can guarantee that is by walking with Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. That's not just a cute little title he has. That's what he walks in. And that's what you can walk in. So again, I'm going to ask, if you've never met Jesus, and today you want to say, today, I need to know this Jesus. I need to walk with this Jesus. I'm going to ask right now for you to be really bold and come up to this altar so I can pray for you and pray with you. I'll give it just a moment or two. And I'm very grateful and I'm honored that all of you have been so patient, because I am. I know I'm preaching a little bit longer than I intended to. But we can't talk about the things that we talked about, deal with the things that we dealt with, and then just dismiss everybody and say, go figure it out on your own. So I see nobody moving. So I'm going to assume that everybody in here has met Jesus Christ at one point or another. So this is what we're going to do. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. You live with Carlos? You guys are in the same place? He brought you here, didn't he? He's kind of a little infectious guy, isn't he? That's a good thing. Praise God. Anybody else? All right, I want everybody, lift your hands up right now. Sir, what's your name? Mario? Thank you. I know you've been here a few services with us. Thank you for coming back. And thank you for being so bold right now to stand in front of a bunch of strangers you don't even know. Thank you. But more so, Jesus is saying thank you right now for being so bold to step out. Because I believe this, if you come into this kingdom bold, you're going to stay in this kingdom even more bold. I believe that. Thank you, sir. Would you lift your hands too? Everybody, lift your hands with me. I want everybody saying this with me right now. Say this with me. Lord Jesus. I stand here today in front of all these people, but more importantly, in front of you. I know I've caused issues in my past. I know I've got some stuff to deal with. And I know I'm not perfect. But I'm standing here asking the perfect God to come into my life, to change me, to help me, to heal me, to deliver me, and to make me that new person that only God can make. Jesus, I repent of all my sins, and I bow my heart and my life before you right now. Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God. I do believe that you did come to this earth to die for me, to pay the penalty for me, so I don't have to. Jesus, today, before all these people, before heaven, and before every demon in hell, I am confessing and declaring that my life belongs to Jesus Christ. I will walk with you, I will honor you, and I will serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. And thank you, Jesus, for the work you're starting in me and the work that you will complete in me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Yeah, give him a hand clap. Now, Father, I thank you for Mario right now. I thank you for the boldness that it took to come up here. Lord, I thank you that, you know, your great Holy Spirit will come and help him as well. I thank you that he's going to walk in the newness that only you can bring. Lord, I thank you that his future is bright in you. Lord, I thank you that you're going to start to deal with him even right now. You're working on his heart. You're working in his body. You're working in his mind. And Lord, he is going to be just like Carlos. They're going to be committed to walk with you all the days of their life. And people are going to see that there's something different. They're not the same people that they were before. And the only explanation could be God has got a hold of this man's heart. Lord, I thank you that he is going to be that new creation you've called him to be. You're going to help him each and every day. You're going to strengthen him each and every day. You're going to remind him each and every day of who he is because of what you're doing in his life. Lord, I thank you for just keeping him right now, protecting him right now, guarding his heart, guarding his mind. Lord, I thank you that you're going to even protect him from some relationships. You're going to bring some separation to some things. You're going to show him there's certain people he can't be around. There's certain people that, you know, you're going to separate those things so he can walk and get strengthened in you. That one day when you say, Lord, it's okay, he'll be able to go back to those people and introduce them to the same Jesus that he's meeting right now. You're going to help him do this in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you right now. You started a good work here today, Lord, and you're going to see it to completion. I speak strength over this man. I speak peace to this man. I speak health to this man. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I don't know your background. Obviously, I've only seen you a couple of times. But the Bible says that when one person, that's you, Mario, one person sells out to Jesus, gets born again, as we said, all of heaven rejoices. There's a party going on in heaven right now because you said, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. We can't see that. But man, there is a party going on up there right now. So thank you, again, for being so bold to come up here. This couple right here, Angel and Fatima, we're going to end the service in just like 2 minutes. Just stick around and talk to them for just a couple more moments because I led you through a prayer. They're going to explain just a few more things to you because, again, I don't want to assume you know anything or nothing. I want to make sure they got things covered so you understand a little bit deeper what you just did and what this means for your future. Amen. Give Mario a good hand clap. Come on. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.